Today at 3 p.m., it's former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Then at 4 p.m., it's Ben Shapiro. Then at 6 p.m., it's the great one, Mark Levin. You can depend on us. New York's Talk Radio, 77 WABC. Now, it's Curtis and Juliet.
Talk Radio, 77.
Jet Set Juliet.
Curtis.
Look who's back.
I know.
Ryan
Bride.
Mongolooch from Matzah Pizza, a.k.a. Massapequa, the South Shore, and from his double wide body trailer. Well, well, well. How was it for your hillbilly Christmas?
Oh, hey, guys. glad to be back. My hillbilly Christmas was fantastic.
It was
awesome.
The first Christmas for your adorable little baby girl.
Yes, it was. And she was very excited by the wrapping paper and the tissue paper. Couldn't care less about the gifts or anything else.
How old is she? How many months is she?
She's almost 6 months.
Wow.
6 months next month.
Look at you, Daddy.
Couple weeks.
Yeah.
A week and a half.
He sent me a really cute picture, and I showed it to my mom, of his daughter. I showed it to my mom. She's like, she looks just like him. It's very cute.
Or some people say, just look at my wife.
Well, but, I mean, she looks like Deanna.
Well, you're so excited because, once again, your 737s are going back into the air.
Yes, it is.
And apparently, we'll take you from MacArthur Airport in Long Island, from LaGuardia or JFK, to Tampa, Florida for, is this correct, $45?
Yeah, $45. You can fly anywhere in New York to Tampa.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
It's incredible. I mean, you can fly down to Florida. I was looking at prices for my sister-in-law and the baby. $45 from Miami. $45!
And think about it, that's entry level. So if you want to splurge a little bit and get like first class, maybe it's like 90.
Well, wait. Does this mean you have to take the 737s that nobody wants to take in order to qualify?
I didn't check the equipment on these flights.
Oh, wait a second. Yeah.
But United was the one that I saw that had $45 flights nonstop.
Do you realize?
Yeah. That's
how many people with the exodus from New York, as it continues in exodus, will take a one-way flight as if this were the old People Express from the North Terminal in Newark, all those brown jets where you could go 1999 to Buffalo? They're taking it one way, $45, and they ain't coming back. They're staying in Florida. They're staying in Miami. It's like so many other people. They're just flocking to Florida.
Hold on. We have breaking news. Thursday, January 14th, if you want to fly from Miami, Florida to New York or New York to Miami, $17.
Is it
one
max?
Way.
Is it the max? Can you see the equipment on that?
I don't know how to do that. $22. Oh, are you kidding?
It's the max.
No, it just jumped up to 22. I swear to you. That's insane. Oh, on Frontier. Oh, well.
Well, Frontier is like first come, first serve.
All right. On,
it's
on
like
United,
people distressed.
Yeah. On United, $36. I want to look at what it would be for, first class. That's the way I like to fly.
Look at this. The people are flocking to Florida. And guess what? A lot of them are not coming back. But speaking of flocking, in your honor, Brian Mongolooch, upon your return here to the engineering controls of WABC, you love aeronautics.
I do.
And the future is here. Apparently, there will be permitted FAA drone routes in which they'll be doing deliveries door-to-door, business-to-business, flying over your head, possibly as you sit on a park bench and you order through whatever app you have.
Yeah.
Delivering your order right in your lap as you sit on the park bench and feed the pigeons.
They're doing this at night, too.
That's pretty crazy.
I haven't looked up this whole process. Like, so we're just going to be hanging out in Central Park, looking at the pretty sunbathing people, and all of a sudden there's going to be somebody bringing a toaster, some drone bringing a toaster. How does this work?
I don't know how they're going to do this with, like, Class B airspace, especially, like, around here, because obviously we have three major airports that are around us.
Lots of tall buildings.
Well, that
how
too.
Does that
and they also have, helicopters as well that flies very low as well.
This just has accident written all over it.
How is this going to fly? And, like, is there a designated pilot for these drones? Is there training going on? Because we know the military has it. We know the police departments have them. The fire department have them.
But how big are they? I mean, if it, I don't understand the I mean, delivery I think they thing. Have to Am be, I being stupid? Like, they actually are carrying something?
Yeah. Because
And they drop down onto your doorstep.
Packages or nets, you know, that are carrying these things.
How do they know?
Right. I don't. And that's the thing.
I don't want to know.
Well,
let's say,
Jet Set Juliet, you are sitting in the middle of, what is that, Heckscher Park there in Huntington?
Yeah.
And you're enjoying the day, and you decide through what, Uber or Grubhub or Seamless, you're going to order yourself a custom salad for like $11.78. What kind of delivery fee will be tacked on? If it's delivered into your lap by a drone.
Yeah, I mean, are there going to be, like, designated, like, landing zones or, like, landing pads for these? I mean, are they going to go right to your front door?
Yes.
I mean,
and what happens if somebody's riding a bicycle?
Right.
I mean, does it have the ability to, you know, aeronautically, is it designed to be able to go, woof, I got to get out of the way of
Listen,
Joe.
Some people can't parallel park, but we're going to have people drop off packages.
Yeah, this is not going to be good for all the illegal aliens here who make a lot of money to stay alive from Seamless, Uber, Grubhub. You know, they do the deliveries right to your door, right to your person. Do you imagine you're sitting there in, what is that, Heckscher Park again?
Heckscher Park.
Yeah. Right by that pond, that little lake.
Heckscher Park.
And you decide, oh, yeah, I'm just going to order me a custom salad here. Okay, it's $11.78, but then you have the delivery fee, the taxes, the tips. Do you tip the drone? I mean, do you tip it like you would a guy on a bicycle?
Probably not, right?
It'll probably be $25, so it'll cost you more than the cost of the custom salad. But then again, the convenience of having that salad delivered right into your lap by a drone.
Yeah, but hold on a second. But how many packages and things are being delivered all day long? I don't understand. We're going to look up and all we're going to see is drones?
Isn't it
this is sickening
sort of like
to me.
A
this
scene
is really disturbing.
Out of Star Wars, right? Where you see all the
like
crafts
an alien or something.
Constantly in the air.
If you think about it, Nostradamus said that we're going to have asteroids and zombies for 2021. So maybe the asteroids are these drones falling out of the sky.
Huh? Oh, my God.
Remember the classic case when Curtis Sliwa was hit by a drone, almost sliced my jugular. On the parking lot of Major World, when I was there with the naked cowboy and the guy from La Mega, and then when I went to do an interview and I was holding it, Dr. Ben Carson was there, still running for the presidency, in fact, ahead of Donald Trump and Cruz at that time, and he looked at it, he put his hands on it, and it healed. It healed. It was amazing. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of healing, he has been shamed into this. The macho man of all political totalitarian dictators, Vladimir Putin, was shamed by our own Oliver Stone, film director, who took the Sputnik V vaccine shot at the age of 76. You're only supposed to take it in Russia if you're under 60. So Putin said, I'm not taking it. And now Putin, the Russians won't take it because there's a caveat. You cannot drink for 42 days once you've had the shot or it dissolves the vaccine. So Putin is going to take it because Russians are not willing to take it.
Well, I think the actual vaccine people said you don't have to wait that long. They, you know, because it's about immunity, I think. I don't know. Is it about dissolving the medicine or is it about the immunity?
I don't know.
Like, they're just trying to tell you to boost up your immunity because, you know, normally these Russians are drinking a
right, and they're not going to lay off
bottle
the booze,
of it a day.
But apparently a lot of people are being urged here in Terra Firma, U.S. of A, to lay off the booze, and they may have to follow in the footsteps of our own Brian Mangaluch, who has a regimen the first 3 months of every new year. In which he claims that he is alcohol-free. Will this be your regimen for 2021?
Well, I do it for 3 months.
That's what I said, three months.
Yeah. So I just want to reiterate that for everybody.
Well,
I asked Juliet, she's going to do this for 2021, and she goes, no.
Absolutely not. I'm 51 years old. Why would I do that at this point in my life?
I don't know.
I haven't become an alcoholic.
It's like a good.
I don't go overboard.
It's like a good cleanse.
It doesn't. That cleanses me not.
It cleanses. But no, I am going to do it again for the next for the this is 5 years.
A full 3 months. Yeah. You will not have
a sip.
Cooking sherry. You will not have Sterno. You will not melt down shoe polish.
Shoe polish.
Well, that's when you're really a lush. That's when you're really
peroxide.
Bougie. That's right.
Mouthwash.
Yes.
Like, is this because you worry about yourself becoming an alcoholic? Because when I sit at home, I don't have cravings to drink. I mean, when I get into an upset situation or something like that, occasionally I'll be like, I would like to have a drink. But I'm not.
I started this 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and I just kind of stuck with it. And I actually added on months as I went along with it.
Wow, that's aggressive.
I just did it because, one, like, I felt myself getting more rounder and a little rotund.
Oh.
And I felt like I needed just a little break.
Mm-hmm. Lizzo-ish, can we say?
Lizzo, yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe. But
blame it on the juice, yeah?
Of course. But also, you know, you're in the holidays, you know, like obviously Thanksgiving. We just passed Christmas.
Notice he's dancing around this. Are you of the following backgrounds?
Go ahead.
Russian, Ukrainian, Belarus, you Polish or Irish? Any of that?
Irish.
Okay, that says it all. That's why you have to go on a bender for 3 months. That says it all.
No, not a bender.
I mean, you're going to be a teetotaler.
Dry.
Well, you say that with the Irish.
I was going to say a dry spell, but that's not it either.
No, we have somebody who is doing our call screening today, and I blanked on your name. What is your name again?
Did you bring your microphone?
Oh, sorry.
That's how new he is, new Jack.
Yes, he is a new Jack who has joined us today, along with somebody.
Matthew.
Matthew.
You can talk, Matt.
Yeah, it's okay.
Hey, what's up?
Hi. So you're listening to this conversation, Matthew, aren't you? Now, how old are you?
I'm 21.
Okay, so you're 21.
Yes.
Have you ever thought about going on, like Brian, basically a pause with your drinking? I mean, I would imagine that you have drinks because you're 21.
Well, I just turned 21 in November, so.
Well, I imagine you probably had drinks before you were 21. I mean, do you drink?
I do.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you drink excessively at times? I'm not challenging. I'm just questioning. You know, you're a college guy.
I wouldn't say excessively, but, you know, every now and then.
Okay.
I like to have a few drinks.
Okay. All right. Would you ever consider this? I can't see your eyes. Let me look at you. Okay. There you go. Would you ever consider this? This pause? 3 months.
If it's what's best, then yes.
Well, you were probably named after the Apostle Matthew, right, who was a tax collector. So you're going to work for the IRS. It's okay. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we continue on.
Thank you, Matthew.
And in honor of the return of Brian Mangalucci, the attack of the squirrels coming up in Rego Park, where they are physically attacking people in that section of Queens.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
Lydia Serrani.
Well, how y'all doing?
We're all good, girl.
How y'all doing? I'm going to say I'm from the South now.
All right,
If Hilaria can pretend to be from Spain, I can pretend to be from the South,
well, you can,
right?
You can
I'm reinventing myself.
You can stop that accent now just like hers did every once in a while.
Wait, you do your British accent because you do a really good one.
Would you like me to talk like this? Would you like me to do the fancy British, or would you like me to talk like this? You know, a little bit more like Manchester. Manchester, where they do, instead of saying the V, they say F's. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh my God, yes, that's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. That's like my favorite story. And this Lydia Report is brought to you by Benjamin Steakhouse, their Midtown East location, which Curtis says he will take us to. He's totally ignoring
us.
He's like, get the heck out of here.
I love you, Lydia.
Well, I see the pigeons are back. Jesus Christ. So the Benjamin Steakhouse, the Midtown.
God, look at them. They're attacking each other. Look at that. That is so disturbing.
That's because I didn't feed him this morning. They followed me.
Sorry,
they go after each other.
It's a Benjamin Steakhouse report. Their Midtown East location is open for not indoor dining, but the Westchester one is. They have takeouts and outdoor dining, heated, beautiful. Definitely highly recommend. Speaking of dirty pigeons, you know how we clean. He's looking at me like, don't call the pigeons dirty. You know how we back in the beginning of the pandemic, the scientists said, watch out. Contamination, the virus can live on surfaces for a really long time. My husband, when he would come home from work, because he worked at a hospital,
yeah,
he would literally get naked in our mudroom area, and he would spray his body down with Lysol. He was so, so afraid.
So he did not embrace the bacteria.
No, he was so afraid. And even now, he's like douses himself with the hand sanitizer to the point where he has cracked all of the skin on his hands and stuff.
Oh, poor Victor.
I know. He's like insane. I'm like, stop. Now we're learning. Scientists have said, I'm looking at this article at NPR, and they talked to these scientists. They analyzed the surfaces by COVID-19 patients in hospitals, and what they found were dead viruses, just the RNA, which is the corpse of the virus, which is non-infectious. Okay. Non-infectious. So you can touch whatever you want because the virus dies quickly.
So here we have everyday heavy use of disinfectants to clean airports, buildings, subways. Our subway closes for 4 hours a night in which they do heavy disinfectants. There's no scientific data to justify the spending of these millions and millions of dollars.
That's correct. And an infectious disease expert with the National Institute of Infectious Diseases, he actually said that very statement. He said there is absolutely no scientific data to justify this.
I told that to a cleaning crew last night at 72nd and Broadway on a Guardian Angel patrol. Oh, no. This gets. I said, I appreciate you cleaning the subway, but it's not needed. And we are wasting millions of dollars on this.
Oh, okay. Well, we're wasting millions of dollars on this. I mean, let's not criticize those who created these policies because we didn't know. We just didn't know. We were trying to do what was best for safety.
All right, but now we
safety.
Know, and yet Cuomo continues to spend money we don't have.
Well, when did this information come out?
This article just came out yesterday, but I'm sure the scientists knew beforehand. And what one scientist said, instead of paying so much attention to cleaning surfaces, mm-hmm. we might be better off paying attention to cleaning the air, given the finite amount of time and resources. And a lot of these restaurants have bought those fancy filtration systems.
Right. So question... You know, one of the things that I'm always concerned about is when I walk, when I open the door to Starbucks or when I go on the train and there's, you know, people stuffed in like sardines and I have to hold one of the, the railings there. I mean, how quickly do these things die off? Does it say? Bacteria?
It just said it was quick. It was dead. Dead on arrival, basically.
Now, let me give you the flip side.
Because it's very fragile.
The corpses. Your hands have little corpses all over them. Oh,
because I used to have to. I was a key man at an AMP supermarket. I used to have to strip the floors, clean it, you know, swab the deck, and then put a layer of wax on it. I used to use a combination of ammonia and bleach, which will knock your lungs out.
That's like can blow up,
yeah.
Right?
But it definitely did the job. Now we find out that using these disinfectants can produce toxic chemicals that you breathe in. So you're more likely to have a problem from all these disinfectants in your own breathing.
That's correct. An atmosphere chemist, which I didn't know even existed, at Colorado State University said heavy use of disinfectants like bleach and hydrogen peroxide can produce toxic molecules that we breathe. It can cause direct impact to the cells in our lungs, oxidative stress.
If you watch Below
it's
Deck
like poison.
On Bravo, you will know because one of these the girl from Long Island, she was trying to
Elizabeth.
Do cleaning and she put ammonia and bleach together, and the engineer from the boat, from the yacht, comes in and he's like, yeah, that's basically mustard gas.
It really does clean a surface, though. But thank you. Thank you for straightening all of this out. People will continue to use their elbow grease and continue to use disinfectants. No longer necessary.
All you have to use is some good old-fashioned soap and water. That's it. And you should.
And elbow grease. Elbow grease.
And wash your hands because you don't want to touch your face, respiratory, or, your nose or your mouth. That's it. It's just common sense, like our moms taught us, right?
Well, thank you, Lydia Serrano.
Yes. And that's your Benjamin Steakhouse Report. Check out their specials at BenjaminSteakhouse.com.
Curtis and Juliet on
77 WABC. I don't know why. What a problem. I wanted to take my two youngest sons, Carter, who's 12, and Hunter, who is 8, to a park nearby their house. It's a park they love. It's not overcrowded. It's got all the latest sort of, they call it urban furniture in a park for them to have, you know, monkey bars or the equivalent of that, all that stuff we had, swings. And now they can't go there because the neighborhood is on full alert.
What, is it
for
danger,
crime? Squirrel attacks.
Oh, God.
Apparently, there are these killer crazed squirrels who jump out of trees and attack people indiscriminately as they walk through the streets of Regal Park, especially around, now get this, 65th Road, 65th Drive, 65th Street, 65th Avenue.
So 65th
Place. I hate Queens because it has all the numbers and then like five other different streets attached to the number. But apparently, if you're within that vicinity, the squirrels will watch you walking by. It doesn't matter who you are. You could be a woman with a baby in a baby carriage.
Oh,
attack. Guys, attack. Children, attack. And we have our resident squirrel expert who has just returned from his sabbatical in that double wide body trailer and matzo pizza in the South Shore of Long Island, Brian Mangalucci. Remember, who told us of how he and his friend, the dastardly duo, drowned
no,
a squirrel.
See, here, oh my God. Here we what? Go again. I did not drown a squirrel. A friend of mine did.
Oh, that's.
I didn't do the drowning.
They might.
What do you
and
mean
I wasn't
he drowned.
And
squirrel?
I wasn't there for.
Wait,
the drowning.
Is he a serial killer now?
No, he's not a serial killer. He has three names though, but he's not a serial killer.
Oh well,
Brian, you could be commissioned. You and your friends to go into Regal Park because when they call 911, cops do not respond. Then they tell you call 311. Nobody responds.
Did you call Thrive?
Animal, no, Thrive, obviously. These squirrels,
well, squirrels
are mentally
homeless.
Impaired. And when they call animal control, no response. So the people are left up to their own means. They're afraid to come out of their homes, to go into the parks, walk the streets. So Brian Mangalucci, drowning squirrels might be the thing to do because these people would probably be up for it.
Well, I think we should check and see if these squirrels have rabies.
Well, Micheline Frederick is one of the neighbors there, and she had to go to the hospital because a squirrel attacked her to the point where it bit her hands and her arms. They were covered with bites, and her snowy front yard, as the patch says, was stained with blood. I mean, this is
crazy.
No joke.
Yeah, they are no joke.
What's wrong
out.
With these things?
Let's find out from our many listeners out there who deal with squirrels all throughout the tri-state area and beyond, many of them who invade your homes, and you try getting them out. Of the inside of your homes or your garage or your attic once they lay claim to your turf. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
This poor woman says she was holding her front door open for two movers when the squirrel ran up, like just, you know, usually they run away from you. This thing ran up, scurried up her leg, and she's trying to shoo him off, and she starts attacking her, like just pouncing on her, starts biting and scratching her.
Not
it's like
yet,
a little freakazoid.
Let me give you an idea. You used to live in Battery Park City, right?
I did, yes.
Just north of there, a lot of people don't realize it is a state park, a New York state park. It's not a city park. It's called Rockefeller Park after the guy who at one time was the richest guy in the world and was governor of New York and almost became president, actually became vice president for Jerry Ford. They have big signs there that says, do not feed the squirrels, because they have been seen chasing people down the streets into the West Side Highway.
Oh, my God. So this is kind of like those wild turkeys that come at you.
Yeah.
And what we've seen other things. We've seen
raccoons,
other varmints. Yeah.
Raccoons, definitely.
Can you imagine?
Possums sometimes.
Look at this picture, Curtis. I'm looking at a picture in the patch of Regal Park. The aftermath, you see the snowfall. You see this blanketed snow on the ground and just blood and shoe marks everywhere. Like this poor woman was freaking
this
out.
This ain't the Rocket Chase Squirrel of Bullwinkle's time. But our number is 1-800-848-WABC. And we go to a self-announced squirrel expert from your neck of the woods, Huntington.
Yes.
Welcome to WABC, Rich.
Thank you very much, Curtis and Juliet. I'm a big fan of your show, and I am a squirrel expert. And if these squirrels are attacking people, I'm sorry, but I think they deserve it.
What?
No, I have a kind heart, but they must be doing something. I don't know.
Michelle,
maybe
Micheline was just, she had her door open. What do you think she could have been doing? No way.
I don't know. Maybe she was I don't know, giving them the finger. Maybe she works for de Blasio or something.
Yeah. Oh, my God. You're
sick. By the way,
man.
Rich, what do I do now for my visitation? I would pick up my sons, Carter and Hunter. We'd go into a nice park in Rego Park. Can't do it now because it's under squirrel attack alert.
Bring a pocket full of peanuts and give them to the boys. And anytime you see a squirrel anywhere nearby, just toss it over there and tell them how much you love them.
But, Rich, here's the problem. If you've got a pocket full of peanuts and you don't happen to notice the squirrel approaching you from behind and it attacks you like it attacked this other person, there's another person that it was attacked. The squirrel jumped.
It was in the backyard.
The squirrel jumped on this guy's foot and tried to scamper up his leg. He shook the leg to kick the squirrel off. The rodent became so riled up, it climbed atop a bicycle and jumped at him. Teeth and claws bared.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Giuseppe Joey out in Clifton, New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Joe.
What's up, guys? Happy New Year. Good to talk to you. I had squirrels living in my soffit to the point where they rotted the entire soffit and all the fascia boards throughout my whole house. I have people working on it right now, costing me $6,000 to fix it. And there was like six squirrels living in there with a family. And the funny thing is, I would walk right by, and they would stare at me, but they never attacked me.
So they were not at all intimidated by humanity walking around.
No, and I bought this spray. It was like a mint, and you could smell it, and it was supposed to repel them. And it worked for about a week, but then they came back, and they ripped all the soffit to where they could run around my entire house.
So they're worse than termites.
Yeah, they were. It's something I've never experienced before, and I don't wish it on anybody. It's costing me a lot of money.
I got to tell you, maybe you guys need to move out to the suburbs, perhaps the North Shore, because the squirrels that are on our chateau's property are quite intimidated by humanity. I mean, they were even scared of my dog, Winnie, who's 2 pounds. So perhaps it's just a more peaceful, bucolic environment out there. I don't know.
Well, let's go to Farmingdale in Long Island.
Well,
and Darlene, welcome to WABC. Darlene?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Darlene. Are you finding that the squirrels are rabid out there, or are they much more polite?
Well, where I am, I had the same problem. They were living in my soffit. I kind of made them like special peanut butter sandwiches to kill them. But I think, why don't they just go get feral cats?
Wait, let the cats
just kill the squirrels.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. Laid a trap with Skippy peanut butter. Was it thick or creamy? What was it?
Creamy.
Creamy, okay.
Creamy peanut butter.
You lured them to their death by eating peanut butter sandwiches on...
Yes.
Well, she didn't make sandwiches up, did you? You didn't make sandwiches.
Yes, I put peanut butter on white bread.
Oh, my God.
Silver cup,
with
no
doubt. Little...
Did you cut the crusts off?
I had the same problem, crust and all, yeah. I had the same problem that your last caller did. They were living in my soffit.
Well, I tell you what, you did bring up a remedy, and my wife is an expert on setting up cat colonies of feral cats. These are cats that cannot live indoors. They've been outdoors too long. And, yeah, they keep all the rodents away. They keep the rats, the mice, the squirrels, although they get along with the raccoons. A lot of times, like when she's feeding the feral cats, the raccoons are sharing like the little hut that she makes for them
really?
To survive. Yeah, the raccoons and cats, they're like together forever. 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Juliet. Talk Radio 77. WABC.
Attack squirrels in our area. Let's go to Diva, who's calling from Irvington.
Diva!
Diva is in the house. How we doing, Miss Juliet? How we doing, Mrs. Sleeve?
Oh, my gosh, we've missed you.
Oh, girl, I missed you, too, but I have to get this off my 42s. See, you got to treat those squirrels like roaches and rats. If they don't, and ex-husbands, if they don't pay rent, they ain't got a home. Stop feeding them. Hello, they got signs posted all over the place. And you know what? it just sends out a bad message.
Now, Diva,
end of story.
Let me explain to you. Both the president, governors of New York, New Jersey, and local, municipal, and township mayors have suspended any and all evictions because of the pandemic. So you're talking about evicting squirrels when you can't even evict tenants.
Well, baby, maybe they're Republican squirrels. Stop feeding them. Hello,
Diva. Now so good to hear from you.
You realize this is going to now extend to my beloved pigeons because they oftentimes are thought of as rats with wings. City pigeons that follow me everywhere because I feed them. Anyway, let's go if we can to Chuck in the North Shore. Welcome to WABC, Chuck.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Chuck.
Happy New Year.
What's up, Chuck?
I got to tell you some stories about the squirrels out here on the North Shore where I live. We're in the woods. You know, we got an acre of land. Got squirrels all over the place. And a few years ago, I got in my house. They ate the eaves off. They ate through my roof. I fixed everything. So I started trapping them, and I started drowning them.
Oh, God.
Now I got no more problems, you know? There's plenty of woods around. There's plenty of trees around for them to live in. Stay out of my house.
God, he used the Brian Mangalucci remedy. They went into a house where squirrels had invaded the attic. They dragged out those squirrels, put them in a barrel of rainwater, and drowned them.
These are God's creatures. And by the way, we did encroach on their territory.
Murderers. Got
you.
But you see, even in the North Shore, they did that in the South Shore where Brian is and his friend.
The North Shore.
And Chuck did that in the North Shore.
I don't know if I like this Chuck guy.
Drowning squirrels.
Oh, aggressive.
What a horror. I could actually see being Dick Cheney and waterboarding them because you're still alive. They take you back up. But drowning them.
I can't imagine a squirrel coming at me and attacking me. That would be horrifying.
Well, you know,
people.
They're flying squirrels. Remember Rocket J. Squirrel and Bullwinkle. Jet Set Juliet.
Curtis Lewa.
With the return of Brian Mangalucci from his double wide body trailer there in Matzo Pizza in the South Shore of Long Island. Let's get into the additional layers that have been built into this story that just keeps growing and growing about what they call the suicide bomber in Nashville in his RV. Going downtown Nashville from a place called Antioch, right outside a suburb of Nashville. Interesting. Antioch College in Ohio, I believe, used to be the place where radicals would go. And they would learn how to make bombs.
There used to be
the Anarchist Cookbook, which everybody used to have in the 60s to prove that they were cool and hip. It's what Antifa has now, except it's online, but you used to have the black book, the Anarchist Cookbook. I had that. And it would teach you how to construct bombs and blow yourself up to smithereens, because that's mostly what people did, because they're not bomb makers.
Yeah.
But apparently from Antioch, this guy, again, I never trust anybody with three names, Anthony Quinn Warner, supposedly drove the RV, a female voice on a pre-recorded message kept warning people that a bomb was going to go off, get out of the area. And then the song from Petula Clark played. What was that? The Other Side of Downtown? Or am I thinking The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano at night from 1 to 5. Who's talked about this? Because what we thought took place when we saw the RV go balooey, blew up, apparently in the eyes of many others is not what we thought that took place. And in fact, I'm amazed that the FBI is struggling to call this an act of terrorism. Their rationale is, but he warned the people in advance. So when I was in England, the IRA was bombing away in the 80s. And they would generally warn the local police department in advance, and they would clear everyone out. You couldn't even find a garbage can to put your trash in because that's where they would hide the bombs. And the IRA were terrorists. So well, this guy is not a terrorist.
Just because he didn't kill anybody except himself, allegedly, does not mean that he didn't destroy people's private property or could have killed several people had they stayed in a certain area. I mean, that police officer, the tape of the body cam of these cops walking by the RV. I don't know if you guys have heard it or seen it, but you can hear the cop. He's talking about the weird message just before it blows up. And he talks about, oh, it's like the Purge. And he says, quote, good spot for a bomb. He walks by. I mean, it wasn't just a few seconds later. The thing blows up. But yeah, I mean, by the way, the whole three middle, the name thing, the three name thing, to me, I mean, does he, I haven't confirmed whether or not he goes by Anthony Quinn Warner, or if he goes by Anthony Warner and the media just said, oh, let's put Quinn out there because Anthony Quinn, you know, the actor, it's slightly unusual and memorable name. But the bomber allegedly told a neighbor, quote, the world is never, excuse me, God, I'm having a, my throat is so dry today. The world is never going to forget me. Nashville is never going to forget me. There were questions about whether his dogs were in the RV with him. Apparently he bought explosive chemicals with a credit card. So that kind of just, I mean, I know that yesterday we had some Q people calling in and saying, well, he's just a patsy. But for all intents and purposes, this guy seems to have been planning something like this. I mean, well, this is well, what his
let's find
thing
out
was.
From our many listeners. There are like layers to this guy. We know he had no social media presence, apparently no political ideology. We know that there is a woman, a 29-year-old woman in Nashville, an executive with one of the music companies, who has taken the Fifth Amendment. He deeded two separate homes in Antioch, the suburb of Nashville, to her. She's claiming she had no idea that she had these two homes. I find that inconceivable. And I'm still perplexed because I'm thinking that female voice that we heard on that loop that was played in the RV before eventually the Petula Clark song played and then, boom, the bomb went off. I believe that might well have been the voice of Michelle Swing, the woman who will not necessarily cooperate at this point.
Why do you say that? Just because she's a woman that's been connected to this? I mean, that's like saying it's his mother because she's been connected to it. I mean, that's pretty horrible thing to say about somebody.
I think. Again, you know, there's a lot of people thinking about this. Let's open up our phone lines.
Well, you're speculating.
Yes.
You don't truly think. I mean, I just would worry that this poor woman is now going to be ostracized and, you know, receive death threats because of people like you who are saying that she's likely the one.
But she didn't even know she had the two houses deeded to her. I find that inconceivable.
Well, you could be right, but I mean.
All right, our numbers, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And again, as I continue to listen here at WABC, a number of callers at odds with your description, Jet Set Juliet, of an RV exploding, imploding because bombs were set off from inside. They insist that if you look at that video, and I've looked at it a few times, I know you, Brian Mongolucci, you have also eyeballed it. They claim there was a drone that fired a heat-seeking missile that hit that AT&T feeder line building that was responsible for cell phone communication throughout the Southeast, not just in Tennessee or that area of Nashville. And also that there were some ties, believe it or not, to Dominion and Smartmatic, which is the system that is being used in Georgia as we speak to tabulate votes. You know, there's early voting going on. There's absentee ballots that are being filled out and sent in for the election, which will end, we think, on January 5th, although there'll probably be mucho challenges afterwards. So there is a whole contingent of people who believe that they saw a missile implode into that building and not necessarily the RV that caused that explosion.
All right. From the video that I've seen, it looks like the RV exploded. So I'm not really sure which video that they are referring to, although we had several people call up and say that the video that they saw looked like, a drone and a missile. But my question is, and I like some of our Q people or conspiracy theorists who are convinced that this is some sort of Dominion Smartmatic connected situation. Please tell me, why then are we not seeing CCTV showing a drone holding a missile flying through downtown Nashville, which probably has more CCTV cameras than any other area in Nashville proper.
Okay, that's your question. Yes. And my question is, why isn't this guy being labeled a domestic terrorist? He certainly has spread terror throughout that area. People, yeah, you've been to Nashville. I've been to Nashville. Yeah. It's the last thing on your mind. You're walking downtown Nashville, which is kind of quaint. A lot of bars, a lot of gin mills, a lot of music joints. You're not thinking that all of a sudden, boom, you know, the AT&T building, which is somewhat old-looking, is suddenly going to go up in smoke. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to the queue of those calling up, and it's Rich calling from White Plains. Welcome to Curtis and Jet Set Juliet, Rich.
Hey, Curtis, Juliet. I think they're not designating it terrorism because officially the act has to be in furtherance of a political or social objective, and they haven't determined that yet. They can't find. I think I saw in the news they went through this guy's stuff, and he, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question. We know there were close to 100 dead. Remember that shooting at that casino in Las Vegas at a country western event that was next. That guy, nothing ever surfaced from him in terms of a political ideology, and yet we would call that an act of domestic terrorism, right?
Did they? I'm asking you, Curtis. Did they label that an act of terrorism?
They should have. 100 people die, others injured. You would think, right? Just because the guy supposedly didn't have a political ideology, that spread terror.
Change the definition, or at least their definition of what they assign. You know, the term terrorism, too.
Right. The intent to kill, harm, maim, and destroy Americans or American property. I don't know what else.
Excuse me. Does that seem to fit?
Yeah. I mean, that seems to me that that's what I'm saying. If that's not the definition, I don't know what the hell it is.
And the FBI is having a problem with labeling this an act of domestic terrorism.
The other thing is the video that I've seen that people keep, at least the ones that I have seen post saying that there seems to be this streak of smoke. The smoke seems to be ascending. Like it looks like it's something, it's some sort of shrapnel or some sort of debris that's flying from the ground up. And that's where the smoke is going. So it's not descending. It seems to be ascending.
And for all of those who are warning us about the legalization of the recreational use of marijuana, which will go into effect in Jersey, the voters passed that in the recent plebiscite in the presidential election. And Cuomo is saying, he's signaling green light here. The only mark on this guy's criminal record, now you would have thought, domestic abuse, some kind of episode, nothing. A pot bust, apparently for, I think, a few joints.
Wasn't this like years ago, though?
Yeah.
70s
or something? A long time ago. Yeah. But then people will say, did you see his picture in his high school yearbook? Did you see the guy look like a total psychotic?
I mean, I looked like a little fatty McGillicuddy. Who cares? I mean, what high school yearbook? the guy's 66 years old. That was 50 years ago.
Let's go to wait a second, to Peter, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Jet Set Juliet and yours truly, Curtis Lee. We're here at WABC, Peter.
Yeah, hey, Curtis. Hey, Juliet. How you guys doing today?
Good.
All right. So as far as that video goes, I'm pretty much I'm with Juliet. I haven't seen anything with drones or missiles, but there is a night vision video out there that shows a missile trail. It doesn't show a drone, shows a missile trail. But again, you got to question the legitimacy of pretty much everything these days because everybody's hiding everything and nobody's ever telling the truth. So in the news, everything, you know.
Now, Peter, where are you out in Long Island?
The East End.
Do you remember the TWA flight over the Mauritius?
Yes. Back in 95.
Right. TWA flight 800. You remember
800,
that?
There were a million claims that said there was a missile that put that one down, too. And there were supposedly some high-value people.
Yes, there were.
That,
yes. Yeah, there were.
So you're aware of that.
Yeah.
And the fact is,
there's some high value stuff in that building, of course. And I think they are trying to feel like it does kind of smell false flaggish, you know, if you consider what's in that building and what's the way they shaped it. I mean, that looks like it would be the act of a patriot.
I mean, you could.
you
the
could
sell Patriots equaling terrorism eventually.
I just think that we're a country now that has just been so warped and twisted by our leadership. And I have a particular leader that I'm referring to, but others think it's somebody, you know, it's the other side. But we are questioning everything. I mean, we're questioning, is the sun yellow? It's just, that's where
well,
we are
remember,
today.
This Zappa. Goes back to 9/11. 9/11 truthers.
Yep.
Do not believe that it was Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, the Saudis. They believe it was our own government.
Yep.
And they have documentary evidence, they'll tell you every time I run across them, that totally goes against the grain of the 9/11 report that came out of our Congress.
Check this out. No one knows New York better. The founder of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa, and Juliet Huddy. Curtis and Juliet.
You can't compete against that.
On 77 WABC.
And the number one theory as to why this crazy guy, I think we can all agree he's a bit whacked, Anthony Quinn Warner, may have set off his RV as a suicide bomber in front of that AT&T building is because of his hate, his loathing of the new 5G, which is that fifth generation wireless that everybody talks about that is 10 times faster than 4G. You got to have it. Countries are battling to control it. Red China, the United States. And he felt that his cancer and other people's maladies in the immediate area was a direct result of the 5G coming right out of that AT&T distribution point, and he decided that he was going to take it out. His own cancer, I gather, I'm just surmising, probably having been caused by that. And you know, remember, we talked about when I was walking around Astoria a while back, hipsters and millennials everywhere, and they had these flyers up talking about how 5G is, you know, going to end up killing you, and you got to take down the towers and not allow towers to be built on your buildings. And Woody Harrelson was part of that.
I swear to God, I just want to buy a desert island, you know, like just somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. Just have my husband and Winnie, maybe a couple friends, my mom.
Anti-vaxxer groups believe that too.
I can't take
too.
This anymore. It's just so disturbing. This world is just...
Well, let's go to Alex. Maybe he has figured out a motive of this bomber that the FBI will not determine is a domestic terrorist. Welcome to WABC, Alex.
Yeah, I agree with the caller that said that it was because he was depressed and he wanted to die with attention. But I don't understand these people that just kill themselves without at least trying their luck, like for borrowing money from the mafia and trying their luck with business. And if they don't succeed, then they should kill themselves then. Why would they just go and jump the bridge right away? What is going on with these people?
I mean, like, at least do a little bit of fleecing and grifting to see if you can try your luck.
They should have a lot of, they should try, you know, they'll have a lot of money borrowing from the mafia. They could order some steak.
Yes, pyramid schemes.
Buy a house.
And let's face it, you can live a great life briefly until the VIG has to be paid, and that's when...
That kill yourself.
They come to bend your leg and stuff it in your pockets and make you want to feel
that's
like you want to kill yourself.
That's what a handgun's for. You know, I mean, just make it easy on you. But at least go out with a bang. You know, go out with a proverbial bang. Live it up is what Alex is saying.
I mean, here's a guy. Again, we leave the subject today. No social media, apparently no political ideology, and everybody has come up with a rationale in terms of why he did it.
Yeah, he's a kook. He's a loco. He's Coco Loco.
He's a techie. Beware of techies. But anyway, up next, the most requested of the...
You don't have to worry about that, Curtis.
That's right.
You're
I'm a
okay.
Luddite. The most requested segment of any of the many new and old WABC talk radio format shows. That's right. It's the rapid fire edition. You get 10 to 15 seconds to be heard right here on the Curtis and Juliet Show.
Fire. It's time for Rapid Fire with Curtis and Juliet. Rapid Fire. Call in now. 800-848-WABC.
Very quick. What was it you told me? The people 85 plus who drink tea, what happens
to them?
Five
cups of tea a day, according to some scientists over in the UK. 5 cups of tea a day for people 85 and over. They seem to have better focus and attention span.
Wow, I have about 20 cups of hot tea
a day.
Well,
I mean, you're always fired up.
Well, thank you.
That's good.
Thank you. So
that's
hopefully our callers are. You have 10 to 15 seconds to be heard. Let's first go to Mario calling from the Lower East Side. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet. Mario.
Curtis, Juliet, I think you guys have a great show, but that Sanaa, she is as dumb as dirt. She's a coffee girl. All she's probably running around in the office like a cheerleader screaming, Trump. Sanaa's got to go.
Who?
She's terrible.
Same, I can't pronounce your name either.
Lydia Serrano. Oh, listen. Lydia is one of my best friends. She is doing an amazing job, not just on the air, but behind the scenes. I have nothing but amazing things to say about her, and I will defend her until I die.
Probably Serbian. He doesn't like Albanians. Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's Rich calling from Islip. Welcome to the Rapid Fire Edition here at WABC. Richie Rich.
Hey, all right, Curtis. I like my nickname, Richie Rich. That's what I was calling you about. You did not refer to me as that yesterday, and I was very upset, and I think I deserve an apology that only the way Curtis Lewa could give me a mea culpa, please.
I'll introduce you to Mr. Click. You're gone. Let's go.
Woo, I love these calls. These are great.
Let's go to Kenny. It's your turn to be heard here at WABC, Kenny.
Hey, Ted, Curtis and Juliet, I'm one of your loyal listeners. And Juliet, regardless of what you say about Lydia, I'll take you 1,000 times over because you are balanced. That's all I'm going to say about that. And then, Curtis, let me ask you, why did Trump wait till now after the bill was passed?
You got to get to the point.
Well, Lydia actually is quite balanced. I mean, she definitely leans harder to the right, but I've heard her say a lot of things that are definitely balanced.
You both take balance in nature. That's all that
counts. True. I need some more balance.
Anyway, it's your turn to be heard here, Raj, at WABC.
On the current Bernie Sid show, there's been an ongoing serious fixation on vagina. Indeed, Sigmund Freud famously opined that such vaginal fixation by a woman is symptomatic of a closet lesbian or one of
those. Oh, my God. What is the deal? Stop that. Lydia is a happily married woman, and just because she's a sassy woman does not mean that she deserves any of these insults. Please stop it.
Down to the state that has more attention than any other state in the nation with Senate race on January 5th. It's Adam in Atlanta. Welcome to WABC, Adam.
Hi there. I'm going to use an example of Slewanix. Raphael Warnock is a bigot, and his complexion is his protection.
Very good. And I call him Warlock because he's like, he claims he's religious, but oh, man, this guy is out there. Anyway, let's go to Tom, longtime caller here at WABC from the Bronx. Welcome to the Rapid Fire Edition, Tom.
Yeah, I would say that those squirrels may be a victim of mind-altering drugs. Maybe somebody laced it in the food and threw it in the park, and they started to eat it. And maybe that's why they're so loony.
It's plausible. Regal Park, there are a lot of people who believe you tune in, tune out, and
up. Really?
Yeah.
That's not going to make
that's plausible. Let's go to David in Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. David?
Curtis, Pierre Cardin died at age 98. I didn't know he was still alive, but at his age, he could have been a weekend host on your station. Can I do the salute, please, but in Spanish in honor of Hilaria Baldwin?
Go ahead. I give you...
Hurry, though.
Hurry.
Okay. Escúchame, Andrew. Tú eres un mentiroso, pendejo cabrón. Gracias.
Curse words got through there.
Oh, God.
But anyway, I did give him an extra 5 seconds. Mea culpa, yeah. Mea maxima culpa. But let's go to Aldo in the Spencer Estates. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Aldo.
And you don't know where Spencer Estates is. Warhawk, listen, the more people you have, the more nuts have. And fire the sensor. Fire the sensor. Let Steve from Manhattan on. Go, Pat, go.
Did you call into Brian Kilmeade show today? I heard you.
Yes, you did. You loved it, right?
I did.
You're awesome.
There was your 15 seconds. You missed another go, Buchanan, go. Anyway, Let's go to Chris in Staten Island. Your turn to be heard here at WABC.
Curtis, Juliet, I have originally called about that RV that exploded. I can tell you exactly where to go. You could watch that video frame by frame, broken down. Since it's only 15 seconds to the restaurant, if you open, we will come.
Mm. If you open, we will come.
Just like Prime out in Huntington. People are going to go.
Let's go to Ralph calling from the Rockaways. Welcome to WABC, Ralph.
Yeah, Juliet, you showed your true colors yesterday when you lied about a comment you made on Wednesday's trending report and then called me a liar. You who says don't call names, let's just debate.
Well, you did lie, because what you said is I said he win in blowing or something like that. That's not what I said. I mean, you can listen back to the audio tape.
You mean Chris, who thought it was a missile that blew
talking
up the
of, No, he was talking about my comment, my trending about Kyle Rittenhouse.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And he said that I said he went in guns blazing. I did not say that.
Let's go to instead Dave from the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here on the Rapid Fire Edition here of WABC. Dave?
Yes. All in the Game and Love is a Many Splendid Thing from the 1950s. Two of the nicest songs. Discuss.
Oh. Love is a Game?
Well, I have to ask Tony Orlando.
Discuss. I like that. The way he sets it up for us, and he wants us to. Right. But we can't really discuss right now because it's the 15 seconds.
Saturdays after Cousin Brucey's on from 6 to 10, and Tony Orlando 10 to 12. He could probably figure out that riddle. Let's go to Caroline in Long Island. Your turn to be heard, Caroline.
Okay, I think they should pick a bowl of squirrels, put them on a slow boat to China with Cuomo and de Blasio, and kiss them all goodbye.
All right.
Short, sweet, and to the point. And she hit a number of topics. Let's go to Vincenzo in Long Island. Welcome to WABC, Vincenzo.
Hey, Cuomo is Virgil Salazzo. Fauci is Phil Tartaglia. And de Blasio is Tessio all day. I would recommend the veal. It's the best in the city. Oh!
What the? I missed that whole thing.
Yes, Cuomo is Salazzo. Anyway, let's go to Matt calling from Long Island. Welcome to the Rapid Fire Edition here at WABC. Matt?
In the same way that Juliet turned in that first rescue when it got too big and got herself a new puppy, we got to turn in Dr. Fauci as an American people and get ourselves a younger, smarter model.
That's not what I did. That dog attacked my husband and attacked our dog trainer, and that's a really crappy thing for you to say. It was a very heartbreaking thing for both of us, by the way.
Let's go
God,
to
people
Tony,
are so awful sometimes.
Who's calling from Brooklyn. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Tone.
Rest in peace to Phil Negro. The NFL's rigged and 911 is still a joke.
Yeah.
Phil Negro.
That's right. We talked about that yesterday.
He put on that K2 jelly like
that
his
knuckleballer
brother did when he was a pitcher, Gaylord.
Hall of Famer.
Anyway, let's go to Michelangelo in Long Island. Ooh. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Michel.
Curtis, I beg you, stop butchering the Italian language, please. It's Madonna Mia, not Madonna Mai. Love you, Juliet.
Love you, Michelangelo.
Why would I be any different with the Italian language I am with the English language?
That's his thing.
I botulize the English language. So I botulize Italian.
Yeah.
Let's go to Michelle in Staten Island. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Michelle?
Juliet, I agree with you. An island far, far away, I'm there. And I just want to wish both of you and Brian and Jen a very happy and healthy new year.
Aw, thanks, Michelle.
Let's go to
love you too.
Giuseppe, who's calling from West New York. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Joe.
Yeah, hey, Curtis, you know, when I was born, I was so ugly, the doctor slapped my mother, and then he hung himself.
God, there's some really wild calls today.
Yes, Giuseppe.
Lordy, lordy.
Anyway, from Giuseppe, let's go to Joel in Staten Island. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Joel.
Curtis, the next mayor of the city of New York, and Juliet, the next public advocate of the city of New York.
The next what advocate?
Public advocate.
Public advocate. Oh, I could. Yeah. That's a kind of a wasteful job, though.
Yeah,
I think.
You
like,
get
what
to
do
live
they do?
In Fort Hamilton, the military base. How does Jumaane Williams live on an open garrison of the United States military?
Wait, but do you get bodyguards? Do you get police protection?
24/7, 365, armed NYPD, the very ones you want to defund.
I don't want to defund them.
But he does. Anyway, let's go to Dave in the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Dave?
How you doing, folks? Happy New Year to both and be well.
That woman in the hotel, I don't know if she was a racist, but she's the most obnoxious. You should bring her up on assault. That's what you should do.
Yeah, she was horrible.
I mean, you don't grab a kid. You don't touch the kid. You don't act that way. That's all.
Somebody said that they thought she was an Instagrammer type, like one of these Insta, whatever they're called, influencers.
Anyway, let's go to Saul calling from the Bronx. Welcome to the Rapid Fire Edition here at WABC. Saul?
When I go to Italy, I want Curtis to be my tour guide there. And Curtis doesn't know where Spencer Estates is in New York City. And fire the censor. Fire the censor. Let Steve from Manhattan in.
Go Buchanan, go. Go Buchanan, go.
Who's Steve from Manhattan? Why are we not letting him in?
That's him.
Oh.
You got to understand, this is verbal trickology.
It's very confusing.
He's good. Multiple voices, also multiple personalities. Let's go to Chris in Long Island. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing? You know, up in where I live, up in the Glen Cove area, we actually have black squirrels.
Oh, yeah. I've seen them. Yeah.
Yeah. They originally came out of a smaller town called Laddingtown.
But Laddingtown, very fancy, isn't it?
Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Brian Mangalucci's hometown, Matzo Pizza on the South Shore. Your turn to be heard, Mikey.
Julia, you did say he came out guns blazing. And I heard that, and I remember that. And I had to call just because I just heard you tell the guy you didn't say that.
I'm gonna bring the audio tape. If I said it, I will give you a mea culpa. But if you guys are the ones who are on Facebook saying horrible things about me and trying to get me fired, you need to stop. Please.
Let's go to Walter, right. Who's calling from Paramus. Welcome to the
right,
Rapid
Curtis?
Fire Edition of WABC.
Thanks,
correct,
Curtis.
Curtis.
Yes, Walter.
Juliet. The squirrels, if you got black squirrels, that's a problem. They're going in and out of chimneys and getting covered with soot. The other one is the squirrels are going nuts. There's no acorns this year.
Ah,
well, there's tons of them out where I live.
No, that's interesting. That's right. Without acorns, they go cuckoo-lamunga, cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Let's go to Johnny in Connecticut. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Johnny?
Hey, Julia. You know, every time I listen to the show, you're so negative about everything. You're always negative. If I wanted to be annoyed like this, I just would have stayed married. I don't want to listen to you anymore.
Okay, well, you don't have to, I guess. I mean, just tune out my part.
That was a good one. Stay married. I know what you mean, pal. I know what you mean. God. Let's go to Mike in Queens. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Mike?
Is Lydia really the Lady Quarantina on the mic on the Frank Morano show in the morning?
Interesting. I listen to Frank Morano as often as possible. He's on the other side of midnight from 1 to 5. You gotta ask Lydia Serrano. Anyway, Serrano. Let's go to Jury, who's calling from Connecticut. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Jury.
Asterix Joe Biden combines the intellect of a Bill de Blasio and the ethics of that Mussolini on the Hudson, Andrew Cuomo. And that's the good part of Biden. The bad part is he's the...
You went over. But we will be talking about Joe Biden, a Nostradamus prediction that could haunt him in 2021 like it has presidents every 20 years in the presidential update. Let's go to one more final caller to the Rapid Fire edition of WABC, the most requested of any and all segments of our old programs, new programs, weekday, weekend programs. It's George in Westchester. You're the last to be heard here at WABC, George.
Trump, American savior, forever.
I guess that was Nodine Hill there. He's a little broken Italian, English. I couldn't quite make out. He sounded like Mr. Bacigalup. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, coming up, we're going to be talking about Mrs. Baldwin and her, I guess, multiple personalities. Is that what you can call it?
No, just her lying about her, the genesis of her life and her being.
You'll have to break it down because I know little, if anything, about the woman. All I know is, boy, she is like a baby-making factory.
Check this out. No one knows New York better. The founder of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa, and Juliet Huddy. Curtis and Juliet.
You can't compete against that.
On 77 WABC.
You know, coming up in the next hour, it came out of nowhere, almost like picking a rabbit out of his hat. Andrew Evilize Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, decided that after the Tier 1 medical providers in hospitals and in the long-term senior citizen care units and naturally their patients get the valued Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, that the next tier will be those going through drug rehab in drug rehab facilities like Samaritan Village, like Phoenix House, other facilities like that where they have to live on the grounds as they get their therapy. And I had not heard anything about that being suggested anywhere in the country. But it came from Cuomo, who said that's the way it's going to be through an executive order. And you got to ask yourself, who in that industry knows Cuomo that is getting this kind of favor? And we'll go through the whole queue of who's getting the vaccines and who's not getting the vaccines. And then up next, Jet Set Juliet will describe the personality, I guess the person that Mrs. Baldwin pretended to be and is in fact really...
Well, I guess
I'm a little confused.
She's being accused of culturally appropriating by essentially passing herself off as somebody who is a native of Spain when really she went to a private high school in, I think it was called Cambridge or something like that, up in Massachusetts.
So it's basically pretending to be somebody you're really not, or in this case, part of somebody you really
not. Yes, and I'm not quite sure why. It's not like she's a journalist who, you know, used her husband's name to try to, you know, appeal to the Hispanic audience, or she is an actress who's trying to, I don't understand what the point was, but yeah, it's her husband, Alec Baldwin, is very much in her defense. So it's funny to kind of hear some of the comments that people are making about her and the things that she's done over the years.
All I know about her is she certainly produces a lot of babies into the world for her family, and she is apparently an expert at yoga. Other than that, you're going to have to guide us the rest of the way. A lot of people know who she is, and yes, a lot of people know who Alec Baldwin is. They either love him or they hate him. Or occasionally he actually has a friend like myself. Weird as that is.
Talk Radio 77 WABC.
Jet Set Juliet, you now have an opportunity to peer through the various layers of a woman who is well known. Is it
Ilaria.
Ilaria.
Well, no, it's Hillary, really, but she's been going by Ilaria.
Hillary Baldwin,
mm-hmm.
Wife of Alec.
Yes.
I knew them when they were living on the Lower East Side. I don't know if they still do. That's when Alec was coming outside on his bicycle each day like Pee Wee Herman and getting into all kinds of battles with motorists, pedestrians, you name it.
Journalists.
I guess they decided that's it for the bicycle. But there was nothing ever said about her other than, I think, she was into yoga. And obviously, they got together, and they have a very large family now. And other than that, I really don't know much about her, but now she's, like, dominating the news.
Well, I didn't know much about her either because I'm not an Alec Baldwin fan. I think he's a complete jerk, and he's been really horrible to some colleagues of mine, Linda Schmidt at Fox 5 and Robert Moses, a.k.a. Bobby Moe at Fox 5, who Alec Baldwin was just really, really nasty to. I mean, very threatening and physically intimidating to. This was many years ago, but still. But Ilaria Baldwin she's pretty much laid low. She's been a mom and a yoga teacher. But apparently the comedian Amy Schumer made a comment, sort of a sassy comment, under one of Ilaria Baldwin's recent Instagram posts where you see Ilaria holding her son Eduardo, her little baby, wearing, it's kind of a side profile, she's wearing basically lingerie. I mean, she's got a great body. She's a yoga teacher, and she's very wealthy, so she can probably you know, pay the best of the best to do whatever they need to do. But that said, so the comic makes a comment, then it starts to get a little bit heated. Alec Baldwin jumps in, Ilaria Baldwin jumps in, and then somebody else, just some random commenter, jumps in and says, "You have to admire Ilaria Baldwin's commitment to her decade-long grift where she impersonates a Spanish person." And that was the beginning of a thread that ended up going viral. The fact is that Ilaria Baldwin, on her own bio, she has an agency speaker site, and that site says, "Baldwin was born in Mallorca, Spain, and raised in Boston, Massachusetts." Another magazine does a profile on her. And when you do a profile, you usually interview the person. It says, "Born in Spain, speaking Spanish as her native language." You know, talking about all this of Spanish, Spanish, Spanish. So you really get the impression through, not only media coverage, but Ilaria herself, that she is a girl from Spain.
Okay.
Well, it turns out she was not born in Spain. In fact, she was born in Boston. She did not move to New York at 19 to go to NYU. She actually moved. She actually was here. I think she spent some time in Spain because she does have family members who lived over there. But she kind of created this whole mystique and this whole lie about herself, to the point where she was actually using a Spanish accent, but it would kind of come and go. So you have audio of her being interviewed throughout the years, and some days you hear her speaking Spanish, some days you don't. I mean, or, you know, with a Spanish accent. And then it turns out that people are now saying she went to the Cambridge School, private school, high school in Cambridge, Massachusetts. This is a high school. So she's been there. I mean, it's not like she came to the United States when she was 19, as she has said. And now this has become a whole big thing. Because it is kind of, it's hypocritical because, you know, Mr. Liberal himself, Alec Baldwin, is the guy that's always calling everybody out, Mr. Woke. And it turns out his wife has been essentially passing herself off fraudulently.
Now, all right, he's in defense of his wife, the mother of his children. What might have been the better thing for him to do? Because I can imagine if he didn't come to the defense of his wife in that household with all those kids running around, it'd be a hell of a price to pay for Alec Baldwin. What might have been the better way to handle this? Because he was out front very early defending her. Obviously, more information has come out that would suggest she is a fugazi when it comes to all of this, a fake when it comes to all of this. If you were giving them, like, crisis intervention.
I tell you exactly what I would do.
Yes.
I would tell Ilaria to, I mean, this is if you're on her team. You're being paid money and you're trying to tell her, look,
sure,
you know,
sure.
You got to make
damage
yourself.
Control.
Exactly.
Damage.
I would say, Hillary, I would make it very clear. Yes, I kind of have always identified with my Spanish culture. My family lives there. My mother, although she's white, we had family members there. Yes, I've always identified with it. Maybe I identified with it a bit too much, and maybe I allowed myself to sort of become a bit more of what I wanted to be. But the fact is, I'm sorry if it was deceitful or deceptive to anybody. And I love this country, and I'm you know, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, Rubenstein, who was always the great PR guy, was Steinbrenner's PR guy, who always needed it, Trump, a whole bunch of other well-known people. He would say, he would listen to what you had just said and said, that is excellent damage control.
Well, what I actually would say to her, if it were me and she was my friend, I would say, admit you fibbed. Just admit you fibbed. Because, or you screwed up, you know, because a lot of times family members, I'll give you a great example, myself. I have heard for pretty much my entire life from a certain family member that I am related to the famous Captain Joshua Huddy, the scamp, the scoundrel, but the Revolutionary War hero nonetheless.
Who got hung by the British.
I have literally, that somebody in my family told me that, somebody that I trusted. So I was, all these years I've been saying, yeah, Huddy, 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 taking pictures, going down to Cold Second visiting. Well, it turns out from a cousin of mine, perhaps we're not related to him. But I have said that on the air the second I found that out.
Well,
but the fact is that, you know, you don't want to attack somebody because they trusted their family members, and people pass things down. Gore Vidal did a whole documentary on finding his roots in Venice. Turns out at the end of the documentary, he admits, actually, yeah, my family was wrong. My ancestors were wrong. We're not related to anybody in Venice.
Oh.
You know, it's that kind of stuff. But Ilaria just needs to say something like that. If she's been under the impression that she, but lying about, you know, being born there, that's a little weird.
Well, let's open up our phone lines. 1-800-848-WABC, because there have been a series of situations mostly affecting women of late. High-profile women, not to the extent that Mrs. Baldwin is, but a woman who have basically lived a fake existence and gone on to actually achieve notoriety in their fields because of that. But here is a cut of Mrs. Baldwin. As she said, she didn't move to the U.S. until she was 19 to go to NYU.
I moved here when I was 19 to go to NYU.
Ah,
and from my family lives in Spain. They live in Mallorca.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that would make sense. You wouldn't know the pop culture.
I know no pop culture anywhere. Now I'm better, but I knew no pop culture. And then
she went to high school in Massachusetts, so she knew pop culture. She knows how to say cucumber. That was another thing that she said she couldn't say.
All right. Now though, we get the fake Spanish accent. So compare the two, because she sounded like she could have been living out there in the North Shore in that conversation that we just listened to.
How's married life?
Married life is really nice. You know, it feels different. It really feels different. Wow. I didn't think it was going to be different, but it feels quite different.
What's the thing that surprised you the most?
I think just the fact that it feels different. You know, we like to say husband and wife a lot.
Oh my God!
That's the same person, right?
Yeah. So clearly,
pretty damn good.
There's something you have to look at a person who does this, and there's something in this person's makeup that makes them want to be. I mean, she had to know she was going to get caught being so public. So in her mind, I think she has created sort of this reality to herself. Well, honestly, I really do. I mean, it's a kind of an odd thing. I honestly feel so much like I identify with Britain. When I go there, I feel like I'm home. Now, I don't walk around actually having a British accent with my friends. I clearly joke that I like to have the British accent, but.
And you do.
But I do it as, you know, I'm not walking. Well, I do walk around the city.
Can you give us a little British accent?
Of course I would. What would you like me to talk about?
See, here we are.
Very happy to do that. But
real quick, I was out to drink with Juliet a couple years ago, maybe a year and a half ago, and the whole entire time we're at this bar, she was in a British accent.
Well, you
but
know.
But I mean, I do it as like a guest.
Right, yeah.
I clearly don't think that
maybe
I'm British.
Maybe you could get together with all this winds down with Mrs. Baldwin, not Alec, because you don't get along with him, and you could discuss the Spanish Armada, in which the Brits triumphed there in the North Sea.
Right, or how about the Infanta was married off to Henry VIII's brother first, but then he died, and so she was married to Henry.
Wow, there are all women wanting to comment on this, Jet Set Juliet. So let's go to Gail first from Westchester. Welcome to WABC, Gail.
Hi, welcome. I don't mean to sound a little bit too irritable. I listened all last night till 5 a.m. this morning. And is this Lydia?
No, this is Juliet.
Oh, this is Juliet. Because you sound alike. Didn't have a rant today. But I mean, why? You guys are really talking about that. It's affecting you in some way.
Well, I'm telling you, everyone, believe it or not, is talking about it. I ran into three people on the train who were talking about that earlier today. And by the way, I want to salute Gail as an insomaniac like myself, like our owner operator, John Katzimatidis, who listened to overnight radio, especially The Other Side of Midnight with Frank Morano on from 1 to 5. Mm-hmm. It's a great program.
Very good. That's why
you end up not getting enough sleep because you're listening to the radio all night. It's so good. Anyway, let's go to Laura in Connecticut. Welcome to WABC, Laura.
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. Alec Baldwin must be attacked every day. So does this hilarious, this horrible woman. She must be attacked and shamed. The way they attacked Trump and Melania and his entire family for 4 years. These liberals are horrible. These Democrats are horrible. They must be attacked. attacked. Alec Baldwin must fly from.
Wait a second. What about the Republicans that attacked the Democrats? They're okay? Wait, what?
Wow. This real. Let's try Joanne calling all the way from San Antonio. Your turn to be heard here at WABC, Joanne.
Hi, guys. I just find this thing unbelievable with Alec. I mean, yeah, I hear you, Julia. He is very rude. But I find it amazing that he didn't investigate her before they got married. Like, he didn't know she was not born in Spain. And now they have 5 kids, all with Spanish names. Like, she's supposed to be Spanish, so she named her kids from Spain.
I think he just, because he loves her, he probably just ignored the reality of the reality and was maybe hoping that this information would never come out, because it didn't come out until now. I mean, this has been years that he's been with her. So maybe he just kind of ignored it. I mean, you sort of ignore what you want to ignore, what you don't want to see. And maybe he just did it for love. Who knows? But yeah. I don't know. I don't have, like, hatred towards this woman because she's doing this. I feel kind of sorry for her.
You know, the most interesting thing about Alec Baldwin, especially when you're with his brothers, which I've been a few times, all of them quite different than one another. I get along with the guy. You would never think that. You would think we wouldn't get along. We would have nothing. We get along splendidly.
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean that just because you're politically opposite that you can't be great friends. I mean, I've got a lot of friends who are big Trumpers.
I can't share some of the stories because it's about Alec Baldwin when he was first becoming an actor in New York City. But I got to tell you, hey, he can be one hell of a funny dude.
It's Presidential Trivia, Unknown Facts, with Curtis and Juliet on 77 WABC.
We welcome the return of Brian Mongalooch, board operator producer from his double wide body trailer and matzo pizza. You had brought up the Nostradamus predictions earlier today, Brian.
I did, yes.
About?
Asteroids.
Right.
Zombies.
Right. And there were others that he says are going to happen in 2021. That was one of the segments last night of The Other Side of Midnight by Frank Morano. So you guys were thinking alike. And it leads into what may be very ominous for Joe Biden, our president-elect. It is called the Curse of Chief Tecumseh. He of the Shawnee band of Indians that were being driven west by the United States military that was being led by William Henry Harrison at the time, who defeated the Shawnees. Tecumseh was killed in battle, and his brother, over Tecumseh's body, cursed William Henry Harrison to the gods, the Native Indian gods, and made a perpetual curse so that every 20 years, something very bad has happened to a president who happened to be in the West Wing of the White House. So let's go to 1841. William Henry Harrison gets elected president. 31 days later, he dies of typhoid. Typhoid! This guy was a general, right? He's out there battling Indians. He's surviving cholera, diphtheria, all kinds of diseases that killed more military personnel than the actual battle wounds that some of them suffered. So then you move it up another 20 years. We know what happened to Abraham Lincoln. He was assassinated. Another 20 years, President Garfield was assassinated. That led to Chester Arthur taking over as president. Give it another 20 years, and McKinley is assassinated, leading to the youngest president to assume the presidency, Teddy Roosevelt. And then Warren Harding, who was the old-fashioned Bill Clinton, hide the women, hide the female interns. This guy was out of control. He was always perving on them. He died in office of a heart attack. That's 1920. Then in the final time that FDR was president, that was in the 40s, he died of a hemorrhage. JFK, we know, in the 60s was the victim of the assassination by Lee Harvey Oswald, although others will conflict that. And then Ronald Reagan, the attempted assassination of him by David Hinckley, who's walking around today, footloose and fancy free. That was 1980. And then there was one here that I had completely forgotten about. Bush, 43, was in Georgia, not the state of Georgia that as everyone is talking about, with the Senate up for grabs in this runoff election on January 5th. No, the country Georgia, the birthplace of Joe Stalin, but at the time a hardcore ally of the United States because it had fallen out of the circle of influence of Mother Russia. And so here was the president of Georgia, side by side with Bush 43. Bush's wife was there. Other American dignitaries were there. And a guy named Vladimir came out of the crowd and threw a hand grenade at Bush 43. It had a handkerchief around it. It was not a dud. It was a live hand grenade that should have gone off. It would have caused unbelievable damage, if not killing, Bush 43 and his wife and members of the American entourage and what people think was the intended target, the president of the country of Georgia at that point. So now we're in our 20-year cycle again. Many have said, I don't know if Joe Biden can make it through a full 4 years as president of the United States, but some have brought up the curse of Chief Tecumseh of the Shawnee pack of Indians that were defeated by William Henry Harrison, who was later to become president and die of typhoid in the first 31 days of office. Wow. Talk about Nostradamus. Talk about this curse as we enter the new year. And now you know the rest of the story.
Curtis and Juliet on 77.
Well, more developments on the vaccine front. Every day, as you know, Andrew Evilize Cuomo, he has his Coffee with Cuomo segment in which he lectures to us. He tells us that we really don't understand and that it starts with him and it ends with him and he's in charge. He has the right to write executive orders in this pandemic and he does it. And he announced, with no prodding from anybody that I had heard from or anywhere in the country that's doing this, that after they finish the round of the available Pfizer and Moderna vaccines that are being used for doctors and nurses and those that tend to the senior citizens in the long-term nursing centers who are also getting the vaccine, that the next tier will be recovering addicts in residential rehab facilities where they live in the facilities like a Phoenix house or a Samaritan house or the ones that the state or the city runs, that they'll be the next ones to get the vaccine. And I'm saying to myself, where did that come from?
Well, when particularly is he talking about? I mean, what?
Next up in the queue, once they've taken care of all the senior citizens in the long-term care facilities and all the care for them, from the doctors to the nurses to the attendants, they're next up in the queue. And I'm saying to myself, well, who is it that's lobbied him for that? I mean, eventually they're going to get the vaccine, but do we really want to give it to recovering addicts who are in residential treatment facilities in the next wave when there are so many others that I think are more needy?
Yeah, people who are essential workers who are having to come in contact with humanity on a daily basis just to keep the city running. I mean, those are the people that should get it. I mean, the fact is that this rollout has not been as successful as the government continued to insist it would be. They said that we would have 20 million people vaccinated by the end of the year, which is in a few days, obviously. We will have around 2 million people. We have all sorts of different protocols and rules for people as far as who gets to the top of the queue in different places. I mean, even the hospitals, Mass General up in Boston, I mean, that's like a famous hospital. Their doctors and nurses are complaining because some of the busiest doctors and nurses, the people that are on the front lines, like dealing with the patients that are COVID positive, they're not able to get the vaccine because they haven't made their reservation in the queue. They didn't make it quick enough because they've been so damn busy dealing with people. And so now they're way down under, like, you know, the receptionist that works for 2 hours. I mean, it's kind of absurd. And I guess the question is, why were there not it seems to me that there should have been some national protocol. Like, this is what's going to happen, period. It shouldn't be the CDC guidance. It should be rules.
Well, I think each of the states, remember, they're under executive orders. Their own governors make a lot of those determinations. I think the federal government was able to get the vaccines, get them approved, and then give them out to the various states, like with everything else. And then the states make those determinations. But I would like to know how all of a sudden, after no discussion whatsoever, that recovering addicts in residential facilities are now in the number two tier. And that would suggest that somebody has been lobbying Governor Cuomo heavily from that industry. There's a lot of money to be made. There's a lot of insurance that goes into that. These are costly residential rehab facilities, as you know. I got to believe that they've lobbied him to all of a sudden bump up into the queue where before they weren't even being spoken about. I don't know of any other states that are doing that, but let's open up the phone lines. Maybe I'm incorrect. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
I mean, I just Googled this. I just, recovering addicts coronavirus vaccine. I mean, the first story that pops up is New York Post article from 20 hours ago on Governor Cuomo saying addicts in rehab next to get COVID 19 vaccine. I mean, I don't see anything else. So
you know what's going to be next, though, and we're not the first. There are six other states that are already creating it. So in their tier two, prisoners or inmates, whether they're in municipal jails, county holding facilities or state prisons, will get it in addition to the correctional officers and the others who work in the prisons. And the idea being that if you don't give them the vaccines first in the top of the queue, then they're going to have to continue to keep letting them loose out into the streets on early release. And we've certainly seen.
Why? Why?
Well, because they're afraid they're going to get coronavis and it's going to spread in the
prisons. About keeping them apart? I mean, my mom is 77 years old. She still has not received the vaccine. She wants to get the vaccine. Why are they talking about having prisoners get a vaccine in front of her? She lives in New Jersey. We know that New Jersey screwed up and they were, whatever,
late in
filing paperwork and all this business. But that's just absurd. Why are people who have committed crimes, and I know that some people are in who have, you know, they're accused of it and they haven't been convicted. But I mean, we're talking about prisoners like in prison who have been convicted and they're talking about them getting priority over some people? No.
Well, no, it's sort of like they're saying to the taxpayers who are funding all of this, okay, if we can't give them the vaccines first, then we just release them, early release because of the spreading of coronavirus in the prisons. Anyway, let's go to the phones, 1-800-848-WABC, to Donna in Jericho. Welcome to Curtis and Jet Set Juliet. Donna?
Hi. I hope have very little faith in Cuomo, but I'm hoping his motive for providing the addicts, recovering addicts, with the vaccine is that it will, you know, battle the high rate of death with addicts. And it will also serve purpose because addicts are all over the place going out trying to get their drug in desperation. So they can contaminate a lot of people along the way, whereas older people stay indoors. You know, they protect themselves.
Well, I guess with that logic, I mean, and that's definitely, you know, that's an interesting theory. With that logic, why aren't they then going out and vaccinating the homeless and the emotionally disturbed? Because they're the ones that are actually out on the streets dealing with other people, not wearing masks. I mean, Brian and I go through Penn Station every day and see the same woman standing there wearing no mask, wearing the same dress every single day, no mask, nobody's stopping her, nobody's trying to help her. I mean, this woman comes in contact with commuters, thousands of commuters a day.
Let's go to Eddie in the Bronx. Your turn to be heard here at WABC. Eddie?
Juliet, honey, my dear, my mother died 3 weeks ago up in Middletown, New York, in a nursing home from COVID.
Ugh.
Okay, so I sympathize for you with your mother. But we can thank the lovely Democrats that you've been following.
Okay.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, okay, I'm not a.
These are the Democrats that make these rules.
Okay, well,
not a Republican.
I'm not a supporter. I'm not a Democratic supporter. I'm a supporter of the person, not the party. So just let me make that clear. I think I've been very clear that I'm not a supporter of the policies of Governor Cuomo or AOC or de Blasio, among many. So I'm not really sure what your point is. Please don't try to lecture me, because I have been very critical of their policies.
Now, when it comes to Cuomo, he's at odds with Lamont in Connecticut, and even Murphy, who calls everyone a knucklehead, who disagrees with him on how to deal with the nursing homes. They have in Jersey and Connecticut designated visitors who get treated like employees because they follow COVID protocol. So the personal visitors who have been providing essential care, they dress and they feed their relatives, loved ones, or friends, which helps reduce their isolation and cognitive decline. They go through all the same procedures, and they're welcomed in Connecticut and New Jersey. But not New York. Not New York, which has, let's face it, the biggest problem. Anyway, let's go to Arnie, who's calling from Manhattan. Welcome to WABC, Arnie.
Hi, Curtis. There's two things I'd like to discuss. One with Juliet. Juliet, I'm calling regarding these clowns that call up and disrespect you. The place where I grew up in East New York in the 50s, if they would talk to a woman the way they talk to you, they'll be in cement, and that's the end of them, period. Second of all, Curtis.
What happened? I think it's that button on that phone of our new phone screen. You know, when you hit that, boom, they go.
Oh, I just saw it's so funny, because if anybody, you know, saying something nice about me always seems to get cut off, unfortunately. But thank you for that. But, you know, they don't look at me as a woman. They look at me as an enemy.
Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Port Jefferson. Welcome to WABC, Mike.
Hello, Curtis. How are you, man? I remember you from the gritty days in the 70s. So listen, I just want to be clear. I think that this Cuomo is a strunz. But I think that, you know, this move about giving the vaccine to people in drug rehabs maybe is a little bit smart. The people that you're talking about, you had mentioned the essential workers. That's who's in those rehabs. You know, most of them are not, you know, street-level people. They don't want nothing to do with that. The people who want to get sober are the people who have jobs and families, and they go to these rehabs. And in order for them to stay there, they got to be limit their risks somehow. So I kind of support it, but I do understand the point about there being a better way to deal with the echelon of people who are getting it in the order that they're getting it.
I know. Those are good, valid points. Very good, valid points.
I guess we just like to hear the reasoning for Cuomo, why he's doing this.
He doesn't have to give a reason. Remember, the legislature has given him these executive powers that other legislatures have given their governor, and they feel that they don't have to explain what their executive orders do. Anyway, let's quickly go to George in Queens. Welcome to WABC, George.
Curtis, Julia, how you guys doing? Curtis, what happened to the Army, man? I thought the Army was supposed to roll up, you know, set up, and people could just go get vaccinated. What happened?
Yeah.
And also, I got another question.
Oh, hold off. Let's deal with the military first. I haven't heard much talk about the military being sort of in that first tier, that first queue, both overseas or here domestically. I guess we're going to have to research that, come back, and explain what exactly is going on.
No, wasn't he talking about the Army coming out and being the ones who give the vaccinations to people that you know, getting it out there?
Yeah, give it in places where they don't have enough medical personnel.
We don't have enough vaccine. That's a problem.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis and Juliet on
77 WABC.
To the phones we go as we're discussing who is going to get the vaccine and who is being pushed up in the queue in order to receive it in their arm. Let's go to Chris in Manhattan. Welcome to Curtis and Jet Set Juliet. Chris.
Curtis and Juliet, I love the both of you. I have a suggestion. Maybe we can build like an adult-sized sandbox in the middle of Times Square, and we can get the governor and the mayor to meet maybe once a day for a half hour and have a little play therapy. Anyway, that's my recommendation. I think maybe they could try this and work their problems out.
Sandbox therapy. They can take their little pails and their little shovels.
That's a good one.
Yes, maybe put little diapers on them, too.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Yeah. I like that.
Have a great one.
You too, Chris.
By the way, speaking of diapers, since nobody will be in Times Square when the ball drops, no need to load up on Depends. All those people who would normally have been streaming in hours before will be told, wear a pair of Depends, because if you leave the cattle area, the cattle call area that's boxed in, you can't come back.
Are they putting up barricades and things like that?
To
make sure that nobody gets up there,
Everybody out. They'll have the live show.
Oh, what a bummer.
Nobody will be able to get anywhere near the ball. Anyway, let's go to Gerard in Putnam County. Welcome to WABC. Gerard just got dropped there.
Oh, no.
Unfortunately.
Sorry,
let's go
Gerard.
To Dickie in New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Dickie.
Hi, thank you very much. I'm just sorry. I am so furious, Curtis. I'm so furious. Have you ever gone into a nursing home? God bless these people. I have a relative in there. Their quality of life is minus zero. I want to go hug my babies. I can't. Aww. Who is giving the orders that who comes first? It's not fair. Juliet, you said your mother's 77. I'm close to that. Why? Now they're giving prisoners the vaccine? Why can't I get it? I want to go hug my baby.
Aww.
Who is doing this? It's not fair.
Let's see. And this, the emotion and angst in your voice is exactly why people are so enraged with these stupid politicians, these ignorant, arbitrary rules that they make. It's, and you know what it is? I mean, Curtis has mentioned it before. It goes back to follow the money. Follow the money.
And notice with senior citizens in long-term care units, as we had mentioned in New Jersey, the real knucklehead is Murphy and his staff that never did their paperwork to get their proper consignment of vaccines for the seniors.
Can you imagine?
In their care. And you'd say, what did you have to do that was more important than that? Oh,
they had to program the signs, the highway signs that say you're a knucklehead, wear a mask.
That and have naturally a daily press conference. It's much more important. You would say when all of the people are with the governor, you know, when the governor is giving you the daily update and they're all sitting there sometimes for hours on end. Who's doing the other necessary work in their department?
Well, you know, all you have to do, I mean, you can't blame the governor himself in particular, because he doesn't make these decisions. He has people who follow it. But, I mean, somebody's head needed to roll on that one.
Well, up next, it's Rudy Giuliani, who got that chemical cocktail that got him over his bout with coronavirus. I'm sure he's got the antibodies, so he doesn't need the vaccine right now. Maybe if it was up for Rudy, he'd donate it to somebody in a senior citizen home.